Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
We will have a reading from Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord. And the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from the Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I give you this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the Psalms responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
My evildoers close in against me, to devour my flesh. They, my foes and my enemies, will stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, my trust will not be shaken.
One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek God in the temple.
For in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. Hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary and raise me high upon a rock.
Even now my head is lifted up above my enemies who surround me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices in the sanctuary, sacrifices of rejoicing. I will sing and make music to you.
Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me.
My heart speaks your message. Seek my face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my oppressors.
Subject me not to the will of my foes, for they rise up against me, all witnesses breathing violence.
This I believe, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord and be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord.
A reading from Philippians. Siblings, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them. And now I tell you, even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my siblings, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.' Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. We are now into the second week in Lent, and this time mirrors the time that Jesus spent in the desert. We heard last week about the trials that Jesus faced from the devil. And it is that idea and that template about what Lent is about. It's a journey of reflection and preparation to explore different ideas and themes to see exactly how it interacts with our lives. The theme for this week is mercy. We often hear about mercy and how important it is, but oftentimes I hear people interchangeably use mercy and grace. Mercy is not the same thing as grace, and we can look at exactly what that means in the context of today's readings. But first, let's explore what that difference means. Mercy is about compassion and kindness in the face of deserved punishment. Grace, on the other hand, is about goodwill and favor that we do not merit or do anything to earn. So to demonstrate this difference, I'm going to tell you a story about Gary. Now, as many of you know, Gary is my adorable cat. He has his fair share of mischief occasionally, but I love him anyway. So since I got Gary to now, our relationship has grown and flowered as we've gotten to know each other better. Now, cats are generally very particular about when they're fed, right? If you've ever had a cat, they like the same time every day. Now, Gary's nice in that regard. He'll give me like 30 minutes to an hour before he tries to wake me up to actually go ahead and feed him of beyond when he's expecting it. Until yesterday. It was approximately 15 minutes after he should have been fed, and I was still in bed. I didn't have anywhere to be, so I was enjoying the ability to relax. Until a 10-pound cat landed on me and loudly proclaimed that it was time for him to get fed. So in this story, that context of grace and mercy, where does it appear? When Gary gives me that 30 minutes to an hour before he starts complaining, that's grace. Because I don't necessarily deserve to not feed him at the same time every day, right? Versus mercy would have been Gary having compassion and kindness in the face that he didn't get fed on time, and instead he chose to not have mercy and therefore jumped on me. This tension of mercy versus grace exists in a lot of the texts in the Bible. Because we're so fond of grace, we talk about it all the time, about how Jesus was crucified, died, and was resurrected. And because of that, we all earn grace. Where does this talk of mercy come into it? If we look at the psalm, specifically verse 10, where it reads, "Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in." It's an example of exactly what that grace looks like. It's about God adopting those who are rejected, which sounds awfully familiar to what happened through Jesus, doesn't it? And the Hebrew here isn't, when forsake is translated, it's not just a kind of, you know, separate yourself, but it's a direct thing to leave and to lose. It's a very powerful term when it's used here. So it means a complete severance of the relationship. So God extends grace to those who need it, who are adopted, and takes people in. This stands in comparison to what we hear Jesus talk about this week. This idea that Jerusalem, the leaders specifically of Jerusalem, have consistently persecuted those who come to share God's good news, stoning them, killing them, and so many other things. And instead of Jesus sitting there and saying, "It's okay, I'm going to have compassion and forgiveness," Jesus names the reality that the world was living in. So how exactly does no mercy concentrate and go with this idea of grace? Grace is something we can't earn. But at the end of the day, oftentimes when we discuss grace, it's been correlated in the church as an institution, and especially the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, of which St. Andrew's is a member, of letting things go. grace is translated to not naming the reality like Jesus did in the gospel lesson. God will give us grace, but on the flip side of that, we need to have a conversation about accountability. Jesus seeks to instill this accountability in the face of those who go against God. He seeks to sit there and say, "This is what you've done." It's often uncomfortable for us to be faced with where we've fallen short. I certainly don't like it. It's never something that's comforting. But the fact is that we have to hold people accountable and not just say, "Oh, grace will cover this." That tension between these two texts tells us something very explicit. We are to name the reality of the world we live in like Jesus, even if it doesn't necessarily mean giving mercy. Because mercy in this case isn't about the people in power. Mercy is about the marginalized and the oppressed. Oftentimes, when faced with uncomfortable situations such as the isms, racism, sexism, heterosexism, aka homophobia, cissexism, also known as transphobia, classism, and all the other isms out there, when we're faced with that, we don't always name the reality. We don't name that because it makes us uncomfortable saying something different. Oftentimes, as an institution, the church says, "Okay, that's grace, and we've covered that." But that's not enough. That's what Jesus is doing in the gospel text, stating exactly the reality that we live in. Grace does not equate to mercy. Sometimes grace looks like no mercy, because grace isn't something that we just cheaply give away. This is a very hard and challenging concept for me and for a lot of other people, because we always want to skip to the good part, the part where everything's solved or resolved. Pastor David has talked about that in the last few weeks, about how we have to take the journey to get there. Compassion and kindness in the face of deserved punishment can be naming the fact that someone messed up. Because the compassion in that capacity and kindness isn't about the person that messed up, but rather the person they harmed. God calls for us to do better and gives us grace for when we'll fall short, because each and every one of us will. God met us where we are and went that extra mile. But that doesn't mean that we let everything off scot-free. And the mercy doesn't have to look like forgiving someone who wronged a population, but mercy can be about elevating those who are oppressed. Grace and mercy will always be at tension within our texts, maybe not as juxtaposed as the psalm and the gospel reading are, but it's there, because those two tensions are the reality of our lives. In our relationships, that tension lives out. When someone hurts us, do we just give them grace and automatically forgive? Or do we seek to have them understand through compassion and kindness that what happened was wrong? Attention is something that lives within us. It is insidious in our lives and exists in all of our interactions with people, with creation, such as plants and animals. It's hard. But Jesus never promised easy. Jesus promised love. Jesus promised the grace. So yes, things may get hard, but hold that tension within yourself, because through only seeking to do better, to witness to who Christ is as the one who wants to protect all the little children, wants to protect all, have those, all those little feet beneath Jesus as a form of protection, to protect them from that which seeks to do harm. Don't run away from the tension. Embrace it, and you can help further God's realm in the here and now and in the world that we live. Because the message that Christ comes to each and every one of us and meets us where we are is something that this world desperately needs to hear in the midst of coming off COVID and going directly into a war. People need to hear it. But people can only hear it if we hold this tension of grace and mercy within ourselves. So don't run away, but turn into that, no matter how hard it is. Because we will bring God's realm, God's idea for the world, to the here and the now. And that is what grace is.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.